welcome to a new episode of 49ers Talk on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Introducing your hosts, 49ers insider Matt Maiocco and 49ers host Laura Britt.
This is 49ers Talk, brought to you by Big O Tires. And Laura, you don't seem slow. Your picture might be a little bit slow on the podcast, but you are as quick and as sharp as ever.
No, I did get a full night's sleep last night, so maybe I am. Maybe this might be the best podcast we ever do.
Yeah. Hey, but the last few podcasts we've done, most important offensive players, most important defensive players. So let's go this week. Let's go the least important players on the team.
No, yeah, I like that. I'm going to have...
Are you going to name like five guys who are going to get cut like in the first?
I've got a really short list. It's got zero people on it.
Yeah, that's probably not a great idea, the least important players. That probably
No, I'm not. I'm going to let you – oh, you know what? I can't be on the podcast later this week. You're going to have to do that one by yourself.
Why is that?
I'm kidding. I just
because of this horrible suggestion I made?
Yes.
Okay. We're going on a podcast by podcast basis. Whether
I'm not going to be a part of that one.
No, I don't blame you at all. Hey, you know, we're not the only podcast in town.
Well,
you know that.
Yeah, I don't know okay. If you've heard. We're the most important one.
Well, yeah, there we go. And but Kyle Shanahan was on a podcast recently, the Flying Coach podcast with Sean McVay and Peter Schrager.
Wonder how they landed Kyle Shanahan.
Yeah, I wonder how they did that. Of course, Sean McVay and Kyle, longtime coworkers, friends. And I got the sense that Kyle maybe let his guard down a little bit and maybe said more things that he might ordinarily say because of his familiarity. Gosh, I hate saying that word. How about this? Because he's so familiar.
We always do this to ourselves.
I know. So why don't I just say this? Because he's more familiar with Sean McVay. And one of the things that really kind of caught my ear was when Sean McVay says to him, "Hey, what did you think when you saw we traded for Matthew Stafford?" And Kyle just went with a, "Oh, don't get me started, dude," which then he launched into, I mean, he basically got started and went on this roll about Matthew Stafford and how he was studying him because he knew there was a possibility that there would be a trade out of Detroit. And he ultimately said that he was really trying to get involved in that. And I just thought that was, I don't think Kyle has made very many missteps at all. But I think on this one, I don't think he should have said that. Even if he's thinking that, I just think that that's not sending a great message to Jimmy Garoppolo if he's out there publicly talking about other quarterbacks that he wishes he had on his team instead of Garoppolo.
So I have a different opinion about this on a couple different fronts. So first off, I really appreciate candid conversation because a lot of times we get media stock answers and nobody wants that.
No.
After a game, "Oh yeah, we lost. We're on to the next one. You know, we're going to focus on the next." No, like tell us how you really feel. Mm-hmm. Like, why is this loss so bad? What makes it so bad? So I really appreciate the honesty. Part two, he's
talking. Well, first, let me cut you off there. I appreciate it as well. I mean, I love it that now we know exactly what he's thinking most of the time.
Right. So that part of it with Kyle Shanahan on the podcast with Peter Schrager and Sean McVay, I really appreciate. Part two of that is one of the great things about the fact that Sean McVay is on this podcast is that he and Kyle Shanahan, as you just said, are really good friends. What's the one thing that every NFL fan would really love to do? You'd love to sit in a room with your head coach and their buddies, sit at dinner with them and hear what they're talking about. That's basically what we got here. And so I get that he was more honest with him because it's like old buddies catching up. Mm-hmm. So another aspect of this is he was speaking about when the Rams got Matthew Stafford. So he's talking about that period of time. The 49ers, to all of us at that point, we had no idea that they were going to go all in for a quarterback. Nobody knew that. So at that moment, it makes sense. The only people that knew that were Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch and certain people within the 49ers organization. So I get it. I mean, they knew we're going all in on a quarterback. And at that point, Matthew Stafford was an option. And it sounds like if they could have gotten him, they would have. But since they didn't, then they go on to do the trade. So I kind of understand, you know, I get why he's praising him because he was studying him hard.
Yeah, but I just think that you're now so reliant on Jimmy Garoppolo because you make that trade, you ask ownership to keep Garoppolo around for one or two more seasons. So you're going to need Jimmy Garoppolo performing at a high level. And what Kyle Shanahan now has said publicly is that he was ready to move on from Garoppolo right then and there if they were able to swing that trade for Matthew Stafford. And so if I'm Garoppolo and I've been a good teammate helping out Trey Lance, posing for photos with the new uniforms, all this stuff, if I'm hearing my coach say that he wanted Matthew Stafford over me, I don't think that – I don't know. That would just rub me the wrong way. It's like, hey, that's over. Like, why are you talking about Matthew Stafford when so much of this season is being thrown on my shoulders, meaning, you know, me, Jimmy Garoppolo, and you want me to perform, you have to have confidence in me. And now I'm hearing this about Matthew Stafford. What does that tell me? It tells me that you'd rather have Matthew Stafford than you'd rather have me.
The biggest sting for me, if I'm Jimmy Garoppolo, is the day that he found out that the 49ers were trading to the number 3 overall spot. I don't think anything stings as bad as that. And we heard him talk about, you know, his initial reaction, as any human would have, is, I want out of there. I kind of want to be done with it. You want to put it away. You know, you don't want to think about this team that clearly doesn't want you anymore. So for me, if I'm Jimmy, this doesn't sting as bad as that, because he got over that. And now it's like, okay, well, now I know what I know. I knew that they were looking for a quarterback. You know, they were going to exhaust all options and opportunities, and Matthew Stafford was certainly that. So for me, it doesn't sting as bad as just everything that happened.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll agree to disagree on this, but I just think that, you know, by trading up, you're telling Garoppolo, you still might be our quarterback for the next two seasons, because there's a really good chance that you're going to be better than the rookie, you know, or even Trey Lance in his second year, whatever the case may be. So they've kept the door open for Jimmy Garoppolo to be the starter for up to 2 years. But for Kyle Shanahan to kind of reopen that wound and say, we were ready to move on from Garoppolo right now if we would have gotten Matthew Stafford, to me, that was kind of unnecessary. And I don't know that that does any good for anybody in that locker room, especially Jimmy Garoppolo, to hear that.
Yeah, it's Matthew Stafford's a different guy than Trey Lance is too. And so if you've got a rookie coming in, I do think their situation now, Jimmy Garoppolo is their starter. I've said that all along. I'll continue to say that. I think that he's going to be the starter for the 49ers week one. Now, if they would have gotten Matthew Stafford, that's a different story. This is a guy with NFL experience and all of that. So I don't know. For me, it just doesn't sting as bad as what actually happened and saying, hey, we're moving on from you at some point. Cause now he knows at some point they're moving on from him, whether it's, yeah, this year, next year,
right?
He's not going to be a part of the team.
Yeah, and it's funny because I kind of think back to, you know, late last season when Garoppolo had his second injury, and I was saying, you know, I don't think Garoppolo will be back, and I was wrong, but also we know now that they were trying hard to, you know, to get somebody else to replace him. So you'd never know how it's going to turn out. And I think that, you know, the master plan obviously was to get somebody in here to replace him, you know, whether it was Matthew Stafford. You know, there was reports that they were going hard after Andy Dalton. Which I don't think would have been an upgrade at all.
There was an Aaron Rodgers thing for like a half a day.
Yeah, or as maybe it was like a half a minute. You know, I think they
probably more accurate.
Yeah, Kyle Shanahan called Matt LaFleur and said, "Hey, is Aaron Rodgers available?" "No, he's not." "Okay, see you down the road."
Bye.
Yeah. So this got me thinking, and I know some fans in the past of our listeners here, 49ers Talk, brought to you by Big O Tires, they've asked about, you know, is Jimmy Garoppolo the fourth best quarterback in the division? And what does that mean for the 49ers if you have the fourth best quarterback in the division? And I just don't think there's any question right now that Garoppolo is the fourth best quarterback in this division, especially when you use Kyle Shanahan's words to, you know, to paint that picture that he clearly thinks Matthew Stafford is better. So, I mean, have you thought about that at all, about where Garoppolo ranks within the division as far as quarterbacks? And we can go through each one of these guys and how much of a detriment that is, or how much of a roadblock that is for the 49ers' success to have the quarterback that would be, that would go fourth, you know, in a draft if these teams were picking quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think that's really interesting and an interesting discussion. But before we get to that, how's the car? Did you get the car back?
I got the car back. Yes. Okay. My friends at Big O Tires came through for me with the
clear the roads. Mayoko's back out on the road.
Yeah. In fact, why don't we step aside right now for a word from Big O Tires, and we will continue this discussion about where Garoppolo ranks among quarterbacks in the NFC West.
At Big O Tires, you can trust that you're getting a good deal. Now buy three, get one free on select sets of tires with installation purchase. Plus, pay nothing today with easy and affordable financing options for nearly any budget. Big O Tires, the team you trust.
We are back on 49ers Talk. And so, Laura, you tried to steer me off the course there with the talk about my car and the lack of a spare tire that I had. Anyway, what do you think about that?
Okay, so I have my initial thought when I hear this. Can you win the division with the fourth best quarterback? Well, let's go back to 2019 and rank the quarterbacks from 2019, because the 49ers won the division in 2019. So I think it starts to spell out an answer. So how do you rank the quarterbacks? Jimmy Garoppolo is not the best quarterback in 2019, is he?
No, that would have been Russell Wilson.
Thank you.
But I think he was the second best quarterback that year.
You do?
I do. Yeah. I think he is better than Jared Goff, especially that season. And I think that he was better than a rookie Kyler Murray.
See, that's where I struggle. I don't know. I'd have to go back. Honestly, I haven't looked at the numbers for this. Yeah. So I'd have to go back and look at the numbers for Kyler Murray. But I would put Jimmy G as potentially number three, and not – and maybe that's bad on me. Maybe that's hindsight being 2020 and knowing who Kyler Murray is now.
Yeah.
And kind of subjecting the 2019 Kyler Murray to who we know him to be now, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does. I also think that, you know, Garoppolo had a much better supporting cast than Kyler Murray. Well, heck, I mean, they had one of the best rosters. They might have had the best roster in football in 2019. So
the Chiefs would have something to say about
that. Yeah, they would. They certainly would. But I think the rest of the division, you know, I think Arizona has caught up, at least closed that gap as far as their roster. So let's just go through here. So
when we're just talking about quarterbacks, because how do we rank them now, right? So compared to 2019, so 2019, Russell Wilson, then you say Jimmy G.
Yeah, I think so. I think I would have said Jimmy G.
And then Kyler, then Jared Goff.
Yeah, I think so. Okay. How would I rank them now? I think still Russell Wilson is number one.
I agree.
I think, you know, Kyler Murray is so unique, and he's only 23 years old. I mean, last season, he threw for nearly 4,000 yards. He threw for 26 touchdowns. He rushed for 800 yards and 11 touchdowns. I think that he is just so dynamic that I would put him at number two right now.
Because I agree.
as you think, you know, he will continue to learn. He's in the same system. So, yeah, I would go Russell Wilson one, Kyler Murray two, and then, heck, I'm going to go with Kyle Shanahan on this one and say that Matthew Stafford, you know, he's 33 years old. He's thrown 4,000 yards in a season 8 times. He's number 3, and Jimmy Garoppolo is number 4.
The 3 and 4 on this, obviously, are the really hard two, I think. And that's a little tough for me because you just, you know, Matthew Stafford and Sean McVay's system, we've never seen it. What's it going to look like? How's he going to do? It's a big question mark. And then I think also that Jimmy Garoppolo is going to have – he's a competitor. Yeah. He is welcoming the competition with Trey Lance, and I think he still wants to play in the NFL. I don't think he's one of those guys that got his payday and is like, all right, I'm checked out. You know, I'll just ride this thing out with the 49ers and then call it a day. I don't think that's who he is. I think he really does want to play. So I think he's going to have a chip on his shoulder and actually really want to prove himself this season. Injury, hey, I'm not the guy that can't stay on the field. I'm not the guy that, you know, can't complete important passes in crucial moments of the game. I just have a feeling that Jimmy, I'm putting him at number 3.
Really? Well, okay, so on the Flying Coach podcast, this is what Kyle Shanahan had to say about Matthew Stafford in talking to Sean McVay. He said, he was the man. He's actually underrated to me. I know how good of a guy you got. I know how good he is at play action. I know how smart he is. Not only does he have a big arm, but he's got touch. He knows where to go with the ball. So I was trying to get involved in that, meaning the trade talks. So I don't know. I mean,
now you might be convincing me otherwise.
Right? I mean,
well, here's the hard thing. How do we evaluate?
If you're Garoppolo's, if your quarterback is Garoppolo and you're out there saying that's the guy, that the other guy is the guy I wanted, how could you place Garoppolo at any other position?
Well,
NFC West quarterbacks than number 4.
I've got something else to throw at you.
Okay.
So how are we going to evaluate? It's hard. You might just say, okay, we'll just look at the numbers. It's hard to evaluate strictly a quarterback because of the supporting cast, like we talked about. And I fully believe that the 49ers have a better supporting cast than the Rams do.
I think that they do. That's pretty close, I think.
Yeah, it's not, I'm not saying it's light years ahead of the Rams. I think the Rams are going to be a really tough football team this year. But I think the 49ers have a better team. And so that's also going to play a factor and a role into how we determine, I guess, at the end of the, because say the 49ers end up, you know, winning more games, just having a better overall season, and maybe Jimmy G's numbers aren't as good, but the 49ers go farther in the playoffs than the Rams do. Or, yeah, you know, it's hard. It's tough because then you're all excited because, hey, the Niners did well and Jimmy Garoppolo was the quarterback. And if that is how it plays out, there are so many variables.
There are. And, you know, what's interesting too on this podcast that Kyle Shanahan was on with Sean McVay, you know, he talked about Julio Jones too. And, you know, I don't think the 49ers were really in a position to go get Julio Jones, but he did say that he was afraid that Julio would end up with a team in the division. And he ended up, of course, getting traded to the Tennessee Titans. But one of the things he said was, if he, Julio Jones, is going to a team in the NFC West, we got to make sure that it's our team, that we get him. So it's interesting to hear Kyle Shanahan talk about how he sees things. And we saw him at, I think he was at Sears Point. He was going to be doing the starting of that race. Whatever they call it, you know, the drivers start your engines, that guy.
Yeah, what's it called?
The starter. I
gotta Google it now.
Driver's Start Your Engines guy. That's what I call it.
Yeah, what do I Google? I guess the flag person.
No, not the flag. Just
yeah, anyway. He does. You wave the thing.
No, I think the flag is that. No, he's just telling people to start their engines. The guy in the little crow's nest is the one who does the flag.
Oh, see, I'm thinking it's the same person.
Yeah, come on, you're from the South. You should know this NASCAR stuff.
I have been to Talladega.
Anyway, but it was interesting to hear him talk about, like, he considered that a good day. Like, he was ecstatic that Julio Jones was traded to a non-NFC West team. So that was, like, the interesting part of this was hearing how he follows, obviously, the other teams in the division and lives and dies with every transaction that the other teams in the division makes, because he knows, obviously, as all 49er fans do, that one move within the division affects every other team in that division as well.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, yeah. But I liked hearing him talk so candidly about that. So this, you're not going to like this. The answer that I have right now is the flag man.
No, that's not the flag man.
No, but that's what I was Googling, because that's I thought it was the same person.
No, no, no. Well, I'm sure people will reach out to us.
Yeah, somebody help us out here.
As they did. Did you see? I on my Instagram story, I had a lot of free time.
Yeah, I could tell.
Yeah, I don't know what got into me. Sometimes I just can't sit still, and I was like, I need interaction with people.
Yeah, it's fun to answer questions on Instagram. I do that every now and then too. I think it's fun.
Yeah, we got some good ones.
Let's go through some of them.
Yeah, let's go through some of them. Here's a question from Fidel 1924, who asks, who will be the starting quarterback week 18? And so there's a lot of different layers to this one. And so my answer is going to be Trey Lance. And the reason is because either the 49ers will be out of the race and they would definitely play Trey Lance the final game, or maybe the 49ers' playoff position will already be solidified, and so they would rest some guys and they would give Trey Lance a start.
That's a solid answer. And I honestly really want to pass on this because it's so tough. It's such a tough question.
And the other part of it is maybe Trey Lance has already taken over as a starting quarterback.
Right. Yeah. It's a lot of solid options that you offered up there, Mayoko. I think I'm going to go with you on that.
Okay.
I'm going to go with you on that because in your 30-second answer, you convinced me.
Wow.
I think I'm with you that if my belief is that it would take something pretty drastic for Trey Lance to take over Jimmy Garoppolo's position during the season.
I agree with you there. Yeah.
And so I think we're on the same thought process along those lines. We talked about this a couple podcasts ago or a few podcasts ago. So I think you're onto something there, because if they're in the playoffs, why not give Trey Lance a chance to get some experience?
And there is a template for this. When Alex Smith spent that one season with Mahomes as the backup, the Chiefs' playoff position was already solidified, and Patrick Mahomes got his first start that week 18, or would have been week 17, I guess.
Like that. I'm going to go with you on that. I'll say Trey Lance too.
Okay. And then 49er fan 2001 says, can the 49ers make it to the Super Bowl with Lance at QB1? What say you?
So you know, where I start with this is how many rookie quarterbacks have ever even made it to a Super Bowl as a starting quarterback?
I can't think of any.
I don't think they're...
But also, very few rookie quarterbacks have the kind of team around them that Trey Lance would have around him.
That's true.
The one guy, and I don't think he made it to the Super Bowl, was Ben Roethlisberger, who had a very good rookie season and won a lot of games. And I think he was undefeated as a starter, or the Steelers were undefeated when he started games during the
regular season. He was 13-0 in the regular season, 14-1, including the playoffs as a starting quarterback his rookie year.
Yeah. And then I think they won the Super Bowl the next year, but that would be, I mean, the question is, can the 49ers win a Super Bowl with Trey Lance at quarterback? My answer is yes, because if he takes over as the starter, that means he's better than Garoppolo. And Garoppolo and the 49ers just went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago. So theoretically, that would be an upgrade at the position. So I'd say, yeah, absolutely, he could do it.
I'm going to say this season, his rookie season, no, just because of history. Mm-hmm. It's never been done before. If he does it, amazing. And then he writes himself in history books, as do the 49ers. But I'm going to go with no, because it's something that hasn't been done before.
Yeah. Someone asked me, who's going to start at right guard? This was Drew Kerr 22. Who's going to start at right guard? And I say it's Aaron Banks. I mean, you don't draft a guy where you draft him, especially at that position, guard, and put him on the bench. So I think he's going to start. And then somebody came in and said that I was crazy because
was that me?
For a change, it wasn't you. But someone said, how can you say that? It's going to be Brunskill, because Brunskill does a good job against Aaron Donald. But I'm trying to find that. Oh, yeah, here it is. Druzy Dub says, do you really think a rookie will beat out Brunskill? And I was like, yeah. I mean, that's the reason they drafted Aaron Banks, to upgrade that position, the interior offensive line.
Hope lives here in California. But during these challenging times, we could all use a little extra support. Visit calhope.org for free COVID-19 emotional support resources, or call our warm line at 1-833-317-4673.
Okay, so you sent me some of the questions that you got, and I was just scrolling through them. There were a ton of really good ones, but I did see, and I noticed a trend. There were a lot of questions about Jalen Hurd.
Isn't that amazing? People love to talk about Jalen Hurd. They want updates on him. And the last update, and it still rings true, is that he's making great progress. They expect him to be cleared for the start of training camp. And just to refresh everybody's memories, he missed his entire rookie season with a back condition, missed his entire second season with a torn ACL while training on a side field in the first practice. So he was a 2019 draft pick in the third round, has not stepped on the field other than one preseason game, and he has a chance to be a big-time contributor if he can stay healthy.
So that answers most of all the Hurd questions. There was one that I think is interesting. If Jalen Hurd is 100%, what kind of role do you see him having? The other ones were asking for updates on his progress, which you just gave us.
So we know that Deebo Samuel is a really good wide receiver. We know that Brandon Ayuk is a really good wide receiver. Those are your two starters, and those are the only two wide receivers where I can look at it and say, we know what their roles are going to be. Don't know who the third guy is going to be. Is it going to be Travis Benjamin? Is it going to be Richie James? Is it going to be Juwan Jennings, Mohamed Sanu, on and on and on? Or is it going to be Jalen Hurd? The one area where I know for sure that Kyle Shanahan really liked the idea of having Jalen Hurd in his offense is because Jalen Hurd is ultra versatile. Remember, he was a running back at Tennessee before he transferred to Baylor and became a wide receiver. He's got a big body, so there's even talk that he could play tight end. He could do a lot of different things. And the one area that Kyle Shanahan was like frothing at the mouth and, you know, smoke coming out of his ears because he's already, those wheels are grinding of how to use Jalen Hurd.
That image, by the way, is.
Yeah, oh, yeah. No, it's perfect.
I'm not sleeping tonight.
But the one idea that he had was when you get into those 2 minute situations or hurry up offense, you know, no huddle, where the defense can't substitute in, and you have to basically, you know, defenses have to stay with the 11 guys they have on the field, because if they try to substitute in while the 49ers are keeping their 11 guys out there, they can snap, get called for too many men on the field, and you know, create yards that way. With Jalen Hurd, depending on the defensive personnel, they can move him around. They can put him in the backfield. They can put him in the slot. They can get him out wide. They can line him up a tight end. And that's up to Kyle Shanahan then to go, they're at a disadvantage from this standpoint. The defense is at a disadvantaged from this standpoint so we can create the matchups they want. And so that's a, one area where I think you'll definitely see Jalen Hurd. And who knows, he might end up being the team's number three receiver. My guess is there will be a combination of number three guys based on who they're playing, you know, the play call, who's hot, because they like, obviously, they're going to go with the hot hand. Here's another question that I like, and it's about offensive personnel. And the question is, you know, Will Sermon, well, here's from Real Duong, Will Sermon take over for Mostert as running back one? And then somebody else asked, if there's no injuries, who will be the guy who gets the second most carries on the team? Which I found as an interesting question, because I don't know who would be the first guy.
I guess they're assuming Raheem Mostert.
Well, you know what? I think Trey Sermon is, man, it's not often that a Shanahan invests a third round pick in a running back. I think Trey Sermon's going to make a major impact year one.
And I don't disagree on that. And I think I hate to devalue the running back position within the Shanahan system. They're very talented players. Raheem Mostert is incredible, has done incredible things for the 49ers. But I could see a situation where Trey Sermon has more rushing yards than Raheem Mostert does in 2021.
Yeah, I could see that as well. And the thing about Mostert, where he found his niche in 2019 was not as a starter. You know, it's almost like he could kind of sit out a series on the sideline. I think Tevin Coleman started most of those games. And then he'd get in and just provide a spark. So I wonder if that is anything that they're going to look into, like, you know, maybe have Trey Sermon as the starter, right? I mean, it all depends on how he picks up the offense and everything else. But, you know, right now I could definitely see those two guys sharing the load. And, you know, Sermon to me seems like more of a workhorse type of back with his body type. And then the one guy that I'm really interested in seeing, and I think he's going to surprise a lot of people, is Elijah Mitchell. As a third down back, I think he's going to be a really good player. So we'll see. He's the sixth round draft pick from Louisiana.
Yeah. And when you were talking about that, it reminded me of the podcast where we had on Jim Nagy, the executive director of the Senior Bowl, had really high praise for both Elijah Mitchell and Trey Sermon and had great things to say about them. So it would not be a surprise to see either of them play a big role in as far as running backs for the 49ers this season.
Yes. Hey, I wanted to end this podcast with some words that I just can't believe I'm saying. Greg Clark, who played for the 49ers for four seasons, he was a third-round draft pick in 1997 from Stanford. You know, these were the early years where I was covering this team, and Greg could not have been a nicer guy. And he remained in the East Bay after his playing career was over. And I would see him occasionally, bump into him at certain spots. Always so warm, friendly, just a great all-around guy and a great family guy as well. It absolutely breaks my heart to learn that he passed away last week at the age of 49. And it even breaks my heart further to read the statement that his family put out, which read in part, "His recent suffering from CTE symptoms cannot extinguish the breadth and depth of his impact on us and others, and we are forever grateful for the time we have had with him." And I can tell you, Laura, I'm very grateful for the time I had with Greg Clark, just a great guy, and just so sad. And the family also said in this statement, "It is our hope that through further research, we can gain more knowledge surrounding CTE." So just horrible news. Everybody who was around Greg thinks the world of him, and he's just gone way too soon.
Yeah, I think his family said it the best. you know, the situation that they're in now, it's hard to understand the pain that they're feeling, but knowing that his legacy lives on within them and the person who he was lives on within them is heartwarming to read, but a tough day, a really tough day.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.